Yesterday we ran through the Braisa quickly on Samach Aleph from the base, about 20 lines from the top. The Braisa first quotes the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, then it quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. So they sound like they're saying the same thing. The Pasuk says, we have to ask Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyodecha. So b'chol nafshecha means if you have to demonstrate your love for Hashem. If someone pressures you to worship Avodah Zarah, you should demonstrate that you love Hashem, which either by giving away your life, b'chol nafshecha, v'noitolus nafshecha, or b'chol miyodecha, b'chol mamoincha. Why does it say both? Why doesn't it say the one that's the more chomer to people? So that's what the Tana Reb Lezer says, they're different attitudes. Some people are so... normal people are interested in saving their lives more than saving their property. And other people are so crazy, they'll give up their lives over a nickel. They'll fight with the one who's trying to rob them, even though they're going to lose their lives. Their money is more important than their life. So the Chumash tells us we have to demonstrate our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to the greatest extent, whichever is more chaviv to the person. If he cherishes his life more, even to the extent that he gives up his life. So Reb Lezer seems to understand, b'chol nafshecha v'ilu noitolus nafshecha. Then they quote Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva says, b'chol nafshecha v'ilu noitolus nafshecha. So isn't it the same thing? Isn't it one b'raisa? Is it one b'raisa? So if it's one b'raisa, why do they quote Reb Lezer saying the same as Reb Akiva? So I thought perhaps of a pshat. Then I looked it up this morning. I have the Sifrei on Bamidbar and Dvarim has the commentary of the Netziv. So the Netziv in his commentary quotes that's a Sefer Shin Aleph. I'm not sure who the Shin Aleph, Shagas Aryeh. I don't know who the Shin Aleph is. I didn't have a chance to look on the Shagas Aryeh. It says the Sefer Shin Aleph quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that they're not saying the same. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, Yehorek Bal Yavar, you have to give up your life. Al Kiddush Hashem based on this pasuk, and Reb Lezer just means miyesh l'chadam shemamon chaviv alav megufo. How does it say? Shegufo chaviv alav mamono. It means to suffer yisurim. It means you have to strain yourself to demonstrate your love for God, but not necessarily to give up your life. Maybe it's a machlokes satanoim. So the Netziv quotes this in the name of a Sefer Shin Aleph, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and he says he doesn't believe that it's an authentic quotation. How can the holy mouth of the Vilna Gaon have said such a thing? The Reb Lezer disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. He says that if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Dalet, on the margin, on the left-hand side, they give you all the cross-references, where are the places where this price is referred to. And there in Sanhedrin, the Gemara presents that there's a machlokes satanoim where they say Horeg Val Yavah by Avodah Zarah or not. By Shvichas Damim, the Gemara says they're not allowed to kill someone else even though you're going to save your own life. That the Gemara says common sense dictates like that. And that common sense is under all circumstances. That applies to a Jew and to a non-Jew. That applies to everybody. Even though the Gemara there in Sanhedrin has a discussion whether Bnei Noach the non-Jews don't have 613 mitzvahs, they only have the 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So the Gemara has a question, what about the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, that the non-Jews are not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah? Would you say Yehorek Val Yabah by a non-Jew with respect to Avodah Zarah? Is it, that's a chelik of the 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach? That's an integral part of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, not to worship Avodah Zarah, even if it means you give up your life. Or should I say no? It's not an integral part of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. Because nefesh should be doiche the yisur Avodah Zarah. You have to give up your life because of the mitzvah says we after Hashem Elokecha. That's another mitzvah. That's an eighth mitzvah. And the Bnei Noach are not mechuyev in the eighth mitzvah. They're only obligated to observe 7 mitzvahs. They're not obligated to observe 8. So the Gemara raises the question and the Gemara comes to a conclusion. It's not clear what the conclusion is. So it's a machlokes harishonim how to read the conclusion. So the Rambam in Hilchas Yisori HaTorah starts off that chapter, I think Perek Hei in Hilchas Yisori HaTorah starts off, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvah Mal Kiddush Hashem. So he says right away in the first sentence, Kol Beis Yisrael, the Jews have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, And then he spells out later explicitly that it doesn't apply to the Bnei Noach. That's how the Rambam read the Maskana. And Rashi didn't learn like that. Rashi learned that the Maskana, the Gemara, was that Bnei Noach do have a din of the Yehorek Valyam. So the Mishlei Melech has a small sefer that's mainly on Drush. It's called Parashas Drachim. Very beautiful sefer. He puts together agaritas from different mesichtas and he weaves them into one big mosaic. Everything blends in together. He has one essay about tzedakah, one essay about the Melech HaMashiach, one essay about humility. Different beautiful essays. And so he has one essay about Yehorek Valyava. So that's more halacha than agarata. So in that essay he says, even if one should assume that by Bnei Noach there is no din of Yehorek Valyava, but by Shvichas Damim, that's a svara. That's not based on a pasuk. My chos is the Dam and Dach Sumitvei. Why should you think that your life is more valuable than the other fellow's life? How can you think that it's called Pikuach Nefesh? I'm allowed to murder the other person in order to save my own life. Why? Because God cherishes human life more than anything, but the other fellow is also human life. So why should I be allowed to kill him in order to save my own life? So he said, that's a double portion. That Yehorek Valyavar by Shvichas Damim, that applies equally to the non-Jews. It's not shaykh to, and it applies equally, but Sinib for Hesse, it's not shaykh to make any distinctions there. But by Abba Dizara, that's the shayla that the Gemara raised there in Sanhedrin. So in that sugya, the Gemara points out, we mentioned a little bit yesterday, that this machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and the other Tanoim, do you say Yehorek Valyava by Abba Dizara, Bitzina? Maybe it's only for Hesse, because B'nikdash to Besoch, B'nai Yisrael, the word Toch, Toch Bnei Yisrael has the connotation of Asor. How does it have the connotation of Asor? So the different Tanoim learn out from different psukim. Some of the Tanoim learn out from the Meraglim. We spoke about it last week. That it says, Anvasa la'edo haroa hazos. The Gemara assumes that there were 12 Meraglim. And two of them gave a reasonable report. And 10 of them gave an improper report. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, he says, HaMasa L'Eda HaRua HaZos, he refers to the 10 evil Meraglim as an Eda. And the Higdash to Besach Adaz B'nei Yisrael, for Dovah Shebikdush, he need Eda, he need 10. It's interesting, over Shabbos, I happened to be looking in a Torah Tmimah Chumash, so he quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that there was an ongoing debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. In the Bavli, it's not really that clear. But the Yerushalmi spells it out. There was an ongoing debate, but they did b'terek l'shem b'nei adam, or lo did b'terek l'shem b'nei adam. When human beings talk, they repeat themselves a lot. Once in a long, long while, once every 10 years, I listen to a tape of my shiur. So I can't understand how people can listen to that. It's so annoying. I keep on repeating, saying the same thing, and I never finish a sentence. I always stop once, and I start another sentence, I never finish a sentence. But that's the way human beings talk. Normal human beings don't talk like that. This human being talks like that. You don't say full sentences. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter, that he dictated Dibra Terekel Lishon Bnei Adam, the way human beings talk. So people repeat themselves a lot. So you have a lot of times expressions in the Chumash that are redundant, that don't mean anything. Rabbi Shmuel holds like that. Rabbi Kiva holds not. The Gemara has this debate back and forth. The Gemara never identifies it with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So Yishalmi says it's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, with the Darshan Lashon is Kfulim. And it says, Hanik Tanik Nosen Titim Pesach Tiftach Mosumas. Whenever you have a Kefal Lashon, the Darshan. So here by the Meraglim it says, Ish Echad Lashavet. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Dibet Terkel Hashem Ben Yodam, it's repeated, there was really only one person for every Shevet, and there were, as we all know, 12 Meraglim. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, says, no, love it, Dibet Terkel Hashem Ben Yodam. We always darshan the Shon is Kfulim, Nasim Titin, Hanik Tanik, Pasach Tiftach, so there were really 24 Meraglim. And two of them gave a good report, and 22 gave a miserable report. Amos Leida Harazos wasn't 10 people, it was 22 people. See, Kim are not from there. They have to learn out from a different pasuk. So the Gemara says, there's another, the other Tanoim have another pasuk that when the Achi Yosef was shuttling back and forth between Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, so it says, Vayedu Achayasef Besoch Habayim. I don't remember the Loshan over there. So there were 10 Achayasef who were going back and forth, because Binyamin, the father didn't let Binyamin go. So there were 12 Shvatim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. And Binyamin didn't travel, so the other 10, so it says, Vayavur Besoch Menei Yisrael. There's some kind of a Loshan over there, Toch. So they learn, other Tanaim learn from there. But it's interesting that the Yerushalmi says, according to Akiva, there were 24 Meraglim. Because you have Hidarshans, Lashonis, Kfulim. And even though the Chumash lists off the names of the 12 Meraglim, each one had a sidekick. Each one had a Gabbai. Like Chassidish Rebbe goes with a Gabbai, he doesn't go by himself. So the Torah singles out the name of the Nasi Echad LaShevet. But it's understood, Ish Echad LaShevet, that there were two for every Shevet. So getting back again. So the Gemara there in Sanhedrin has this machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that he only say Yehorg v'yavabe avodizor if it's b'frahesya. And that's the same thing by all the other tayag bitzus. Whenever one is called upon to do an aver b'frahesya, so you're not aver b'frahesya, any aver b'frahesya, you say Yehorg v'yavabe. So but Zohar is the same as all the other Averis. The one Avera that won't depend b'farasim b'tzina is going to be Shvichas Damin. So yesterday that was a question. The Gemara has a hekesh, ki kashiyokam isharei utzoch ha-nefesh, kein ha-dover ha-zeh, that Naira ha-murasa, bo'al Naira ha-murasa, gili ha-rayis, is hukash to Shvichas Damin. So the Gemara says, it's hukash to Shvichas Dam, even with respect to a din that's been established by Shvichas Dam based on a svara. How do you know you heard while you have a Shvichas Dam? Because my chaz is the Dam of the Dachsa Mitvei, logic dictates like that. That logic doesn't apply to Gili Arayis, but because of the hekesh, so the Gemara says, the din that we establish based on logic, the Gemara has in a few rare places. The Gemara will say, Lama likros svara hu. You don't need a pasik to tell you a certain din. It's a svar. If it's a very compelling svar, that you don't need a pasuk. So the Gemara has it by hapeshas hapeshehita. The Gemara says, "Lomali kros svaru, you don't need a pasuk." But then libesof, the end, it could well be that that's rejected. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, and it's quoted in Eben Ezra, the end of Eben Ezra. Do you say hapeshas hapeshehita only terk de dibur, or even lachek de dibur? Let's say. Someone wants to date a woman. He calls her up on the phone. He wants to date the girl. The girl says, "I'm married." "Where's your husband?" "No, her husband lives in, he's coming from Eretz Yisrael." She came first. Her husband is not, so he's going to come next week. And then the next month, she's dating other people and she wants to marry someone else. So you say, "Shavi anav shechaticha d'yisur." The woman says, "Eishin si shani." So she's the menace. But then she says, Apeshos, apeshita, she says, niskadashti, but then she says, vinizgarashti. So ishin amen is only tuch de dibur. She says, niskadashti, vinizgarashti, tuch de dibur, so tuch de dibur dami. So she never, the shavi anaf, she never got off the ground in the first place. It never budged from the spot if it's tuch de dibur. So Taisus says, apeshos, apeshita, is only if it's hita tuch de dibur. If it's lachak de dibur, just like Migala Mafreya is no good, Peshosel Mafreya is also no good. And Rashi holds Beferish not some, that even Peshosel Mafreya is also good. In Shulchan Aruch, a lot of Achrayim think we should Paschal like Rashi, and the end of Eben Ezra. By those cases, a woman says, Niskadashti, so someone to say she should be Nemenis, even Lachak De Diba. So that's not such a strong Svara. That's a strong Svara, that since she's the source of the whole information, therefore she's the man. It can't be a compelling svara if Tosfos holds that din is not true. Tosfos denies it. Tosfos holds that Peshos and Mafreya is no good. Shulchan Aruch quotes Peshos and Mafreya is no good. The Achrayim are not so convinced that we should follow the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe you should follow Rashi that Peshos and Mafreya is good. But Peshos and Mafreya, you can't say it's such a compelling svara if Tosfos holds that it's not correct. So you have to say that. That's Gzeiros HaKasuv. At the end of the day, you say it's a Gzeiros HaKasuv. The same thing, the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Daf Mem Vov. The Gemara says, Amotzi Machaber, all of Araya, you don't need a Pasuk for that. That's a Svara. But the Bnei Yeshua has a famous comment, and he says, it's only a Svara, superficially it's a Svara, Amotzi Machaber, all of Araya. But The Gemara has a machlek as Rabbi Shmuel, well, the hoch be mamon achar harov. Can you be moitzi mamon based on a rov? So we say no, ein hoch mamon, I can't be moitzi mamon from a muchzik based on a rov, because I'm moitzi machar be'olav harai. But Rav disagrees. He holds that you can't be moitzi mamon based on a rov. So how can he say that it's such a compelling svar that you don't need a pasuk? If Rav holds a din is not true, we paskan like Shmuel, ein hoch mamon achar harov. But it's machlek as Rabbi Shmuel, so it's not so compelling. But that's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Even Bari v'shema, also, the Tevea says Bari and the Nitva says Shema. What's so compelling about that? One could have argued the point and said, the guy himself admits he did it. He says, it could be that you're right. I don't remember exactly. It could be that I do owe you the money. I remember we were talking about me borrowing $100,000 from you. We were talking back and forth, and I just don't remember whether at the end of the day, whether he really lent me money. I did so much business that day. I don't remember whether I borrowed $100,000 from you. $1,000, $100,000 I probably would remember. $1,000, I don't remember if I borrowed the $1,000 or not. So the Pnei Yeshua says that at the end of the day, it's not such a svar pshut, you do need the gzeres hakosav of amotze machavera all over Rhine. So here, the Gemara says, this is a svar pshut, that you say, Yehorek bal yava by shvichas damim, bei metzina, bei mefaresia, that's mamish ha-svar chazaka. And then Mishnah Melech writes in his Parashas Drachim, in his essay about Yehorek Vayava, it certainly even applies to Bnei Noach. This was never under debate. The whole sugya there in Sanhedrin, I find Dalid, when he say Yehorek Vayava by Bnei Noach is only by Avodah Zarah, but by Shvichas Damim, the Svara applies. So the Gemara takes that Svara, and then the Gemara makes a Hekesh. Since you have a Hekesh between Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayis, so just like you say Yehorek Vayava by Shvichas Damim, so too, you say, you applied by Gilei Arayis. It's a big chiddush that you learn out A from B, if it's hukash to each other, even with respect to something that's pure svara. The svara only applies to A. The svara doesn't apply to B. But because you have a hekish, that Gilei Arayis is compared to Shvichas Damim, so the din carries over. So the pashtus should be that the din carries over, that bein betzina bein befarhesia, you should say Yehorek Vayava by Gilei Arayis. The only place where Rabbi Shmuel disagrees is by Avodah Zarah. So yesterday Ike said there's a mashmah. I think he said there's a mashmah and a tesis. I looked up the tesis there in Avodah Zarah. One of the sources is Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin. So the Gemara there, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shmuel that you only say Yehorek bal yaver by Avodah Zarah if it's b'farhesia. So Tosfos says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Avodah Zarah is the same as all the other mitzvahs. There's no difference at all. That betzina you say pikuach nefesh is doich Avodah Zarah and all the other mitzvahs, and b'farhesia you say Yehorek bal yaver. So Avodah Zarah is the same as all the other mitzvahs, no difference. So because Tosfos said it's the same as all the other mitzvahs, so the mashmah says that Gilei Arayis is also included in all the other mitzvahs. I don't think the Lashon HaTosfos is meduyak. Avodah Zarah is not the same as all the other mitzvahs. Shvichas Damim is not the same. That's what the Mishlei Melech says. Shvichas Damim has to be separate. Shvichas Damim you have to say, even Betzini Yehorek Val Yava. And the Gemara had a hekesh between Shvichas Damim and Gilei Arayis. I thought that pashtus was that even according to the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, by Shvichas Damim, for sure, the Mishlei Melech is right. You say, Yehorek bal yava bein metzina bein mefarhesia. And by Gilei Arayis also, you have the Hekish. You can't argue with the Hekish. By Avodah Zarah, it's learned out from a different posseg. You have to, Es Hashem Elokech, b'chol nafshech, hapin anot ales nafshech. So again, so the Netziv says about this quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, he says, Pek kodesh yom adav hazeh, how can you say that? The Vilna Gaon could never have said that because there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, and who's the Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, that he holds that you say Yehorek bal yavar by Avodah Zarah, even if it's Bitsina? The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, and they quote this Tana, Rabbi Eliezer. So you see that it's not Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Eliezer means to say, Im gufa chavivolav mimamono, gufa means Yisurim, the self of Yisurim. He's saying also Yehorek bal yavar by Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
Shinod Eliyahu.
Oh, Shin Aleph is Shinod Eliyahu.
On the
death. Oh, okay. So he claims that the Talmidim of the Gra misrepresent it. Wow, okay.
The Gra might have had
the Chulei. that the Vilna Gaon had a girsa v'chule.
I think so, yeah.
And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when the Gemara says it goes like the following brisa, so it quotes Reb Lezer, it doesn't quote Reb Akiva, so they say it should say v'chule.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The one who said Yehor Gayav is the next one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that takes away the taina of the Netziv. The Netziv said, the Gemara said in Sanhedrin, that Yehorek Valyava Bitsina is Rebbe Lezer. No, but if the Talmid Agros say that it should say Behule, so it goes on the next one, it goes on Rebbe Akiva. That's a question in Rishonim. Every so often the Gemara will say, as it says in the Brisa, and they quote a Brisa, they quote the first half of the Brisa, and it doesn't seem to indicate anything. So some of the Rishonim say the Gemara quoted the first line, but they rise really from the second line. It's self-understood. Another Rishonim will say it's a misprint of the Gemara. The word v'chule is missing. If it doesn't say v'chule, it can't be going on the next line. But here, this is what they say. That's what they say in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So the Netziv doesn't like it. He thinks that Reb Lezer says Yehorek Valyava. So what is Reb Akiva's chiddush? That's his question. He doesn't accept this from the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim. And then he says on this Gemara. The Gemara has on about the eighth wide line. So we said yesterday, probably doesn't mean that it was 9:05 in the morning, and he only had 6 minutes to say Kriya Shema. Doesn't mean Zman Kriya Shema. There's one din of Kriya Shema. B'shach b'cha uv kumecho. When you dam shachas, when you dam mar, you have to say Kriya Shema. Then there's another din of Kriya Shema. You have to be mekabel al malchus shamayim when they're taking your life. So Rebbe Akiva started to say, Rebbe Akiva was saying Kriya Shema. Amlo Tamid Rabbeinu Ad Kan. What were they asking? Ad Kan. They were asking, are you obligated to give up your life? And he said, yeah. That was a debate back and forth. So then the Netziv says, what do you mean? His students are Rebbe Akiva, never heard of that siman in Shulchan Aruch. We know it. There's a din of Yehorek Valyava. The Talmid of Rebbe Akiva never heard there's a din. Rebbe Lezer was before Rebbe Akiva. And he understood Pasha. The Netziv understands Pasha Pshat and Rebbe Eliezer that B'chol Nafshecha Minis Afilin Noitles Namshecha. So this was already Yodua before the generation of Rebbe Akiva. So what are they asking Ad Kan? No, they were asking a different question. Are you mechiv to express your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when they're taking your life al Kiddush Hashem? It says Rebbe Akiva is Mekabal Ol Machu Shamayim, he's saying Kriya Shema. They didn't ask you, why are you giving up your life? That's the din of it. But they said, Ad Kan, I'm mechiv to express your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's so bad if you cry? What's so bad if you cry when they're killing you? Why do you have to express your sheer love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, yeah. That's what it's afilo noitlas namshecho, not that there is a din of Yehorek Valyava. That they knew from the days of Rebbe Eliezer. He's the first Tana. Rabbi Kiva said, b'chol napshecho, v'haftas Hashem lakech, b'chol napshecho, filo noitlas namshecho, even at the time that they're being noitlas namshecho, there's an obligation to demonstrate your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was Rabbi Kiva added on. And that's what the Talmidim never heard of that one. Ad Kan, and he says yes. Amalhem kol yom ha'isim mitzdam nikra zeh, ha'posik yuz b'chol napshecho. And now he says, and yotze nishmasa be'echot, he was expressing his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time that they took his life. That's an interesting pshat. But the Talmidei HaGra, in the Shnos Aliyahu, he said, Talmidei HaGra, say that the Gra thought that was the Machlekes, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Akiva. That's what I thought. I don't know what he means, the Netziv says. The Netziv tells you to look in Psochem Daf Chafei Amin Aleph also. The Gemara has a little bit about Yehorek Valyava, not too much. So the Ran has a little bit over there. So he says, the Ran has a gewaldige comment on Daf Chafei. I looked this morning, I'm not sure what he thought was gewaldige. That's relevant to this. I didn't see what was unusually unique to the Ran. I have to take a look again. He says twice. The Netziv has twice, has a long essay. It says twice, look in the Ran on Psochem Daf Chafei, the Ran on the Rif, he has something out of this world. Not sure what. Okay, what is the next din?
Don't we sometimes assume these Surim are worse than these set? Certain situations where...
Yeah. Some Rishayim say
that... Some say that there's a lot of
Some Rishonim say that you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah even to save your life, but to spare one from prolonged Yisurim, one would be allowed to. Because that's worse than giving up your life. Yeah. It just means Yisurim. One can learn what Blaza means. One has to strain himself to demonstrate his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not necessarily to the extent of Yehoreg Malyavar, and not necessarily to the extent of prolonged Yisurim. Little bit Yisurim. Okay, so the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah, the last 15 lines or so. Layek aladim es roshi keneged shahar mirsul shemuchuvin keneged beis kodesh hakadosh. So there's a din of a migdoshi tira'u. You have to demonstrate mora hamigdosh. Extreme respect. There's a din of kibud aviyim and a din of mora aviyim. So kibud means to show respect. And mora means extreme respect. Kibbut square, it's called Myra. So here also by Migdosh there's a din of Myra HaMigdosh and Migdosh Yitiro. Then the Gemara is going to have later the last here, the last 15 lines on Samach Beis on the base. The Gemara is going to be commenting on the Mishnah to what extent is there a din of Kovod Beis HaKnesses. We never talk about Myra Beis HaKnesses, we talk about Kvod Beis HaKnesses. So it's less than Beis HaMikdash. A Beis HaKnesses is referred to by the Navi Yecheskel as HaMikdash Miyad. Yecheskel Navi lived in Eretz Yisrael before the Churban Bayis Rishon. He said, B'nevuah, the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And then he went into Golas Babel with the Jewish people. And he got Nevuah there in Babel also. And he says, even though the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, the Jews will be sent into the Golas Babel, but they have a miniature Beis HaMikdash Migdash Miyad. So at the end of Megillah says that's a reference to Batim Knesias, the Batim Midrashos, Shebe Bovel. So some Shanim learned that it's a real, that's what it really means. That's a real Din Deraisa, the Navi said, a real Din Deraisa. The Chayodim quotes that from the Reb Lezer Mibitz, when the Sefer Yireim, that Kovod Beis HaKnesses is a real Din Deraisa, and whenever there's a Suffolk in Hilchas Kovod Beis HaKnesses, you have to go to Chumrah. Because it's a real din deraisa. Other the Ran on the Rif in Megillah understands that that comment, "Ela batim hanesis about the midrash and shebe bavel," that's only an asmachta min rabbanan. That's not the real pshat in the pasuk. So what is the pshat? I don't know. But I am lemigdash miyat. I'm not sure. But Chayodim quotes Reb Lezer Mibitz and Reb Soloveitchik pointed out that Achrenim have a hoychocha from the Rambam in the Minyan Amitzvos Biktzara. The Rambam wrote the Sefer Mitzvos in Arabic, and we use the Hebrew translation. In the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he repeats the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara. So one would have thought that anything that appears there in the Kitzah should certainly appear somewhere else in the Rambam. So once in a long while, there's a word or a line there in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara that doesn't appear anywhere else in the Rambam, even though he's writing it B'Kitzah Nimrutz. So on the Pasuk of L'sasen Kein L'Shem Elokechem, it says, when we come into Eretz Yisrael, so we'll see a lot of Bote Avodah Zarah, we'll see a lot of Avodah Zarahs in churches. So we have a mitzvah, Beiti Abdunas Kalan Kaim, so Shabdu Shamagayim is Alaheim, Al Haharim, we should destroy the Bote Avodah Zarah, destroy the Avodah Zarahs. Then it says, Losas and Kein Lashem Alakechem. So what does it mean, Losas and Kein Lashem Alakechem? So the Gemara, the Rama quotes the Gemara, Zohar Lenoitet 7 Min HaMizbeach. So the Ramam in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara adds on a word that he doesn't have in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and he doesn't have it in the Mishnah Torah. He only has it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara. Azor the Noite Tzevin HaMizbeach or from Batim Knesias or Batim Midrashos. So if he writes it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara, it sounds like it's a real Din Deraisa. We should check in the new editions of the Ramam whether they have it there too. The new editions that they had based on the Kisviyah, because it doesn't make sense. Why should the Rambam put this Chiddush in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Kitzara if he doesn't have it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs Barucha, he doesn't have it in the Mishnah Torah? So maybe it's a misprint. But that's the line in the Rambam, that he seems to say, like the Chayorim quoted from Reb Lezer Mibitz in the Sefer Yireim, that the Migdash Miyat is a real Din Derais. So the real Beis HaMigdash, there's a Din of Moira HaMigdash, and the Migdash Miyat, but then it says there, there's a Din of Kovet. And the Rambam holds that it, the Rambam seems to hold, like Reb Lezer Mibitz, that it's a Din Deraisa. That's what the Chayyim points out that he was a mechutna, he writes, he was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon, so he said when the Vilna Gaon passed away, they took his body into the Beis HaMeresh, and they delivered a hesped. So he said, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Gaon Ba'aluf passes away, a very great, outstanding Talmid Chacham dies, it's not a violation of Kavod Beis HaKnesses to take the body into the Beis HaKnesses and to deliver a hesped. But if there's anybody less than a Gaon Ba'aluf, so then it's you're not permitted to. You're permitted to deliver the hesped in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMeresh if you need a big enough, if you don't have a big enough room. The Gemara has a Megillah. If you expect a big crowd and you don't have a large enough room to take such a, to house such a big crowd, you're permitted to have the hesped in the shul. Sochei Rabim, you're permitted to do in the shul. But you're not permitted to take the body into the shul. So he's complaining. Chayyotim is complaining why every Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, every rabbi who passed away, they would take the Oren into the shul when they delivered the hesped. He said, that's not a Goan Valuf. And he says that this is an issue deraisa, according to Rabbi Lezim Emitz. Kavod Beis HaKnesses is a din deraisa. So how exactly do you distinguish between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash? In what sense is it a Mikdash Miyat? And what's the rule? What's included in Kavod Beis HaKnesses and what's only included in Moira HaMikdash? When is it Moira, when is it Kavod? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, based on the fourth line from the top of Samach Gimel Amad Aleph, Amar Rava, Ki Beiso. The respect that they have to show for the Beis HaKnesses is just like the respect you have to show for another person's home. Ma Beiso Aka Pandaria Kopid Inish. Let's say I'd like to use a shortcut. Instead of walking around the whole block, I'd like to walk through my next door neighbor's house in order to get a shorter distance. So I'm going to ring on his bell and ask, can I go through your house? That's unreasonable to ask that. People usually are makpid. They don't want someone barging in on their privacy. So ma beso aka pandoria kapidinish. People will be makpid. I don't want you to walk. You can walk around the block. So it'll take you another half a minute, take you another 2 minutes. People don't want other people walking in the houses. However, arikika amanolai kapidinish. Would I be makpid if someone wants to, I invite someone to my home, would I insist he has to take off his shoes before he walks into the house? If he's wearing boots and it's pouring and it's snowing outside, I'll ask him, please take off the boots and leave it in the hallway. Don't walk into the house with your boots on. You're going to make the carpet dirty. You're going to make the tiles on the floor dirty. I'd be makbid, you shouldn't come in with your boots on. But in the days of the Gemara in Europe, they used to have dirt floors. They didn't have a tile floor like over here. They didn't have a wooden floor. They didn't have carpets. So it was a very common thing. If a person had a spit, so he would spit on the floor and rub it into the ground. That was normal. People would do it in their own homes, and it wouldn't be makbid if they would have guests. If they would have guests visiting by them, the guests would also spit on the floor and rub it into the floor, because the floor was a dirt floor. So whatever one would be makbid, you shouldn't do in the neighbor's house, ki beso. Like visiting a private home, my base of people are makbid akap and daria, kapadinish. Arikika amano like kapadinish. We wouldn't insist you have to take off your shoes. We wouldn't insist you shouldn't spit on the floor. So base haknesses is the same as base of kapandari hu deyasa rikika amano lashon. That's the shayla bizman hazeh. Bizman hazeh, we wouldn't be makbid if I have someone in my house going to spit on the floor and rub it into the carpet. We don't do that. We don't have a dirt floor. So today you shouldn't be allowed to do it in the shuls either. That's some of the Lubavitchers still have that practice. When they say Aleinu L'shabach, some they say the line Sheim Mishtachem Lehevel Orik and Mispalim Alel Yeshet. So they spit on the floor and they rub it into the floor. So you're doing that in a shul. The shul has a carpet. That the shul has a tile floor like over here. You would be makbid, you wouldn't want someone to spit on your floor, so you're not allowed to do it in the shul either. Mishnah Berurah says that if you live in a community where they're makbid not to do it in someone else's home, then you're not allowed to do it in the shul either. That's the klal. So why is the rule ki beiso? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. There's a basic difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, and we come to visit by him. The Beis HaKnesses is Beisenu, and he comes to visit by us. Baruch Shalom comes to visit by us. Both in the Beis HaMikdash and the Beit HaKnesses, they have one thing in common. That's why the Beit HaKnesses is called the Migdash Miyad. Both of them are for the purpose of a meeting place for the Shekhinah to meet with the Bnei Yisrael. But the difference is that the Beis HaMikdash, we're coming to visit by him in his palace, and the Beis HaKnesses, he comes to visit by us in Beis Einu. So that's why the Dinim of Kavod are different. When you come to the royal palace, everything has to be in a fancier form of Kavod. That's what we call Mora, Mora HaMikdash. And when you go to someone else's home, when you go to the Beis HaKnesses, the Shekhinah is visiting by us, but that's why it's a lower level. Those are Rav Soloveitchik's definitions about what does it mean, Mikdash Miyad? What does it mean, Ki Beiso? So the question is, the dinim of Kavod of Moira HaMikdash, does it still apply this bunch in Beis HaMikdash Kayim? So that's, there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore. Is there still a din of Moira HaMikdash? So one could perhaps suggest that it depends on the Machloikis HaTanoim, whether the Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitchel Lossi Lodoi, or only Kitchel Lashayt, or only Kitchel Lossi Lodoi. More has a Machloikis and different Mesichtis. One of them is Megillah Daf Yud, and then different places in Zohar, the Gemara has a machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, that it's a machlokes halacha l'maisa, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam thinks that the Malkam HaMikdash is Kitchel Asi Lovai. He says from the day that Shlomo HaMelech established the Kedusha HaMikdash, the Kedusha always remained. From the days of the Bais Rishon, the Kedusha remained. And the Ravid disagrees, and he says based on Kabbalah, it was the scholar to him in Roch HaKodesh that the Kedushas HaMikdash was batla at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, then again at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara in different places, one of them is Megillah Daf Yud, the Gemara in different places has another machlokes where the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was Kitchel Osei Lovai, or only Kitchel Shaita, but like Kitchel Osei Lovai. The Gemara usually puts it together. The two Shailas are identical, but the Tosfos and Megillah Daf Yud, that's the reason why I mentioned Megillah Daf Yud. Tosfos and Megillah Daf Yud quotes Rav Chaim Cohen, who is a Talmud of the Rabbin and Tam. So Rav Chaim Cohen says that not all the Tanaim agree that it's totally Zebizeh. There's room to distinguish between the two. And there's room to distinguish in either direction. Take, for example, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, according to the Rambam, the Makam HaMikdash retained the Kedusha throughout from the days that Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Mikdash. Even though during the 70 years of Golus Bavel, the Rambam has adopted the position, that's the accepted position, that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was batla. There had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. After the 70 years of Golus Bavel, there had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael anew. So there was a Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash in Chutz La'aretz. There was no Kedusha's Aretz. But like in the Midbar, when they were traveling in the Midbar, there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was a Mishkan, there was a Beis HaMikdash, but it was in Chutz La'aretz. So even in Yerushalayim, during the 70 years of Golus Bavel, the Kedushas HaMikdash was there, and the Kedushas HaAretz was not there. And then the Ravid holds that it's not totally Zebizeh, the Ravid holds the reverse, that today, Kedusha Shnei Kitchel Osi Lovai, Eretz Yisrael still retains the full Kedusha, like it had Bizman Bayis Sheni, but the Ravid thinks it's Nizgalot Tehem Baruch HaKodesh, that the Kedusha HaMikdash is Batla. So the Rambam and the Ravid also agree with this Rav Chaim Cohen, that even though many of the sugyas put the two together, including the sugya Megillah Daf Yud, where the Kitchel Hashayta Kitchel Asilova of the Mikdash and Kitchel Hashayta Kitchel Asilova of Eretzel, Gemara puts it together. But the Rav Chaim Cohen says it's not necessarily totally Zebizeh. One is the Kedushas Mechitzes, Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim, that's Kedushas Mechitzes. And Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that's a different kind of Kedusha. It's not totally a Mechitzes. So there's room to distinguish between Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas HaOretz. That's historically, that's a question. When the Rabbi writes, he has it in Hilchos Lulav also, another din, he says, it was Neskala Tehem and Roch HaKodesh, that this is the din. Does it really mean Roch HaKodesh? So that's what some claim, that the Rabbi and the Rabbi's son, the Rabbi had a son who supposedly was very major player in the study of Kabbalah, and they attribute a lot of Kabbalah to the Ravid also. So some understood the Ravid Kipshuto, that he says he had Roch HaKodesh, and this is what he heard with the Roch HaKodesh. And others think that the Ravid didn't mean that. The Ravid has a lot of melitzas. He writes a very fancy style. Usually he's very fancy when he's attacking the Rambam. He usually has melitzas. So this is one of his melitzas. He meant we worked hard in the base medrash and we figured out that this is the din. That's what Sir Rav Soloveitchik thought like that. He thought that the Ravid, even if the Ravid was a Baal Kabbalah, but he doesn't think that he means that it was Nizgalah to him through Kabbalah. He thought that it meant they worked hard and they figured it out, and they thought that this is the din. So that's the Ravid in Hilchas Beis HaBchira, when the Ravid says that it's Mokam HaMikdash is Lo Kitcha Lasi Lovai, and that's the same, such a Loshin appears in the Ravid in Hilchas Dalad Minim. In Hilchas, when he talks about the Niktam Rosha by the Hadassim and by the Arabis, he says, when the Zizkala Tehim Baruch HaKadosh, a whole Nukshat. So we know there is such a machlokes hatanaim, whether kitchalosh elova or not. So one could assume perhaps that this is the machlokes hatanaim on the bottom of samach aleph on the base, whether these dinim there are washrooms right next to the Kosel HaMaravi. So Tosis writes the bottom line in the Tosis, the bottom Tosis Hamachalav Hamibes. Bavat Shein Sham Kosel. The whole discussion in the Gemara that a person has to do Nikovim Gedolim, Nikovim Ketanim, and he's near the Makom HaMikdash, it's only if you're not in a toilet that has walls around it. If you have a washroom that has walls around it, so there's no discussion, then there's no problem. So they have washrooms there, that's not a problem. So the Gemara is talking, they used to have outside people they didn't have toilets but rooms. So there's a machlek satayim, is it a violation of kavod hamikdash bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim or not? Bizman shechina shoira, even if there's no shechina. So one could assume, one could perhaps interpret that that's the machlekes, but the kitchel asilava, lo kitchel asilava. It's not necessarily muchrach. One could even argue the point and say that even if one would think like the Ravid, that lo kitchel asilava, the Ravid's position, the Ravid explains why, he says the Bais Rishon had a real gilu shechina. There was some divine light. What does it mean, Gilu Shechina? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. So what can you see? So he said there's some heavenly divine light that's not compared to any light that we know on this. That's what the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. And the Bais Rishon, there was a Gilu Shechina. And the Bais Sheni, they didn't have that. And the Bais Shlishi, it says everything is going to come back. And it's going to be greater. It's going to be a greater Gilu Shechina than there even was in the days of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu erected. So if the Bais HaShlishi is going to surpass Godli HaKavod HaBais HaZeachem in HaRishon, Bais HaShlishi is going to surpass the Gilu Shechina of the Rishon, is going to surpass the Gilu Shechina of the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, it must be that that Kedusha Shniyah was Batla, because if the Kedusha is still there, so what do you mean it's going to be a Gilu Shechina? But then when they were Mekadosh, it had a lower level of Kedusha. How can it all of a sudden get a higher level of Kedusha? That's the Ravid's argument. So he thinks that after the Churban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha HaMikdash was bottled, and after the Churban Bais Sheni also, Kedusha HaMikdash was bottled. The two different, the Ramban and Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis also holds like that. That Lo Kitcha Lo Silov. In the days of the Rishonim, there were different practices. Some people used to go daven Ana Harabais, Ana Makom HaMikdash, because they had Lo Kitcha Lo Silov. Everybody's Tomei today. So Tomei is not allowed to enter the Azara. But if you hold Lo Kitcha Lo Silov, so it's mutter. So there's no Kedusha HaMikdash, so it's mutter. So some had the practice, they daven Ana Makom HaMikdash in Shavuos, around Daf Tezayin. Miri quotes, Miri lived in Europe, he wasn't there, but he heard that the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael daven Ana Makom HaMikdash Mamish, because they're assuming that it's Lo Kitcha Lo Silov, like the Ravid. Miri lived in Provence. Miri lived in Perpignan. That's a different city in Provence. The Ravid lived in Lunel. The Ravid in Balamor learned Bacharusa. They learned in Lunel. Lunel is the French word for the moon. So that's why the Balamor sefer is called Hamor Hakotn, because he came from Lunel. And then he writes, when it comes to Nezikin, the moonlight is not enough to illuminate the Nezikin. The Mishnah says the end of Baba Basa Ratsu Shayakim Yaski Bidin Imam Shaylachem Batara Godel Bizeh. The most difficult, the most strenuous, the most complicated sections of Halacha are Choshen Mishpat. That's why in Yeshivas they like to learn Noshim and Nezikin, because Nezikin is the hardest. So he says you need the sunlight for that. So he calls the Sefer Hamor HaGodel on Nezikin. I think Anoshim is also, if I'm not mistaken, got to take a look. I think Anoshim is also Hamor HaGodel, but he gives you the whole explanation why he changed the name, because it's a Shiachim Yasim B'din Imaminus, and B'din Imaminus you need sunlight. Moonlight is not enough. So the Rabbin and Balamor learned to live now. But in the Miri lived in Parpignan, but they had traditions there in Provence, in southern France. So the Miri writes this in Shavuos Daf Tezayin, when he more talks about the topic of Kitchel Losi Lovai, Loi Kitchel Losi Lovai. So the Miri writes, he heard the reports from Eretz Yisrael were that they assume Loi Kitchel Losi Lovai, and they daven on the Mokam HaMikdash. So that's an ongoing debate. That's machlokes is the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Mokam HaMikdash is Kitchel Losi Lovai or not. The Mishnah Berurah says it in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. It's Tzveke Dedina, so Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra. A Tomei shouldn't go. Why don't you just look at it to see if it has Kedusha? We don't have the ability to discern. Sometimes there's a Kedusha Hanikeres, and sometimes there's a Havdolah Hanikeres, sometimes Havdolah Shein Hanikeres. Amavda Mekodesh L'Chol B'Nor L'Chosha Min Yisrael O'Amim. So Amavda Mekodesh L'Chol is a Havdolah Shein Hanikeres. You can't tell by looking at the Har HaBayis and the Azor whether it has Kedusha or not. We can't tell. Other people have better senses. Maybe they can tell. But we can't tell. Normal people can't tell. Amavda Menor L'Chosha, that everybody can tell. The plants can tell. The flowers, in the daytime, they give off oxygen. Nighttime, they use up the oxygen. So the flowers know the difference between day and night. The bats know the difference. The animals know the difference. Some of the animals function in the daytime. Some of the animals only function in the nighttime. So the whole world knows the difference. That's a havdolah honey carrots. And then that's the question. Sometimes there's a havdolah honey carrots. Sometimes there's a havdolah shein honey carrots. So that's the question. What about the Havdalah of Hamavdel ben Yisrael or Amim, the Havdalah between the Jews and the non-Jews? Is that supposed to be a Havdalah Hanikeres? It should be obvious? Or not necessarily? Maybe a Havdalah Shein Hanikeres also enough. We mind our own business, we keep our mitzvahs, but maybe we can dress up like Joe College. You walk in the street with a baseball cap, with shorts and whatever, like everybody else. That's a question. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik once said over at Russia. He said that he used to commute every week by plane from Boston to New York. He said 4 weeks in a row he sat next to the same person, and he says the first 3 weeks he didn't realize the person was Jewish. Then he said the fourth week he found out not only is Jewish, he learns Daf Yomi every day. He says he didn't know the person, he didn't know that he was Jewish. He was talking about politics and talking about the news, talking about everything other than, didn't talk about the Daf Yomi. So he said there's a famous drasha from Rav Reines. Rav Reines was one of the founders of the Mizrahi. And they say, Rabbi Meryl Shapira said over the same drasha also, there's a medrash that says, why is there a difference between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shnias? How come the Luchas Rishonis were smashed and the Luchas Shnias survived? How come they weren't broken? So the medrash says, because the Luchas Rishonis were given with great fanfare. There was Kodos Ibrokim, there's a lot of noise, and the whole world was shaking, and there was thunder and lightning and everything. Kodos Ibrokim, thunder and lightning. And all the nations of the world knew that something's going on over here. So because it was given, Befrahesias of Sholta Bohem Ein Hara. So that's why, because of the Ein Hara, so the Luchas Rishonis were broken. And the Luchas Shnias, Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he tiptoed down on Yom Kippur. Apparently there was an Erev. There was no need for an Erev or something. He was carrying these heavy Luchas. Came down on Yom Kippur, and there was no Kodos Ibrokim. There was no Ein Hara. And then the Medrash says, the moral of the story is, so therefore there's no Ein Hara. The moral is, HaLamada Tashen Lecha Yofim Min HaTznias. The best thing is to do everything B'tzina, not to do B'farhesi. Definition of Tznias is to do B'tzina. As opposed to, Gemara is going to talk about Ezu Tzonua in Samach Beis Amram. So what's the definition of Tznias? Tznias means you do something B'tzina as opposed to B'farhesi. So the Velt Est HaKashe, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Why did the Rebbe Shlom give the Luchas Rishonis with such great fanfare? He didn't realize that it may be Sholat and Ein Hara. He should have given the Luchas Rishonis Bitzina, so they wouldn't have to be smashed. The answer is no. The Rebbe Shlom wanted that the Havdalah between Avdalas Chamin Ha'amim, the Havdalah between the Jews and the non-Jews, has to be Havdalah Hanikeres, has to be noticeable, has to be conspicuous. So the whole world knew when the Maimon Hasina was taking place. The whole earth was shaking, and the birds stopped chirping, and the cows stopped cooing. All the animals, all of the Bria stopped, everything stopped, and they all knew Rabbi Shalom is proclaiming a new religion. Haseres Adib is going to be given to the Jewish people, because he wants the Havdalah, Avdalas Chaminam, to be a Havdalah Hanikeres. As Rav Soloveitchik said, that years ago you could identify a Jew. A Jew had a beard, he had a payas, he had a facial expression. He had eyes that would cry out. There were so many years of suffering and golos and persecution. The Jew had tzitzis. He dressed like a Jew. Everything was Jewish. It was obvious. And now, he said a lot of times, he sits next to the guy on the plane. He didn't even realize that he was Jewish, let alone that he learns Daf Yomi all the time. Supposed to be a Havdalah Hanikeres. Some write that maybe that's the answer to Korach's Taina. Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes the famous Medrash. Rashi is the one who made it famous. That Korach had a whole kasha, had a whole shaila that he was pressuring for. If you have a bais malei svarim, what do you need a mezuzah for? Mezuzah is another two parashah, Shema Vayeshah, have another sefer, full of sefer Torah, full of svarim. So what do you need another two parashahs on the mezuzah for? And if you have the beged that's kula trelis, what do you need strings of trelis for? The whole beged is made from trelis, so maybe you can dispense with the trelis. So what was wrong with his kavachayma? Why was Korach's kavachayma wrong? So the Mefarshim and the Medrash give different interpretations. And some say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish home to be discernible from a distance. When you walk in the street, you say, this building has a mezuzah, a Jewish family lives here. This building does not have a mezuzah, a Jewish family does not live here. You can tell right away. Or if a person's wearing some people as part of their clothing, they have strings hanging down, but they're not going to spend $150 for trelis. Trelis is royal blue. That's very expensive stuff. Even Mizman HaGemar, that everybody had trelis. Never everybody can afford the trelis. It was extremely expensive. So so you have to have trelis, and you have to have the mezuzah that should be a Havdalah Hanikeres. So getting back again, so the Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos quotes a braisa, Umigdoshi Tiro. How does the pasuk read? Hashem says to Shmor Umigdoshi Tiro on the Hashem. I think it's the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. So the Gemara says, Umigdoshi Tiro'u. Is that only Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim? How do you know? Afilu Bizman Sheein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, there's still a din Umigdoshi Tiro'u. That's the accepted opinion here. Afilu Bizman Hazeh, after the Churban HaBayis, there's still a din of Moira HaMikdash. So the Gemara in Yevamos, beginning of Yevamos, Daf Hei, Daf Vav, Gemara quotes a braisa, it's written in one pasuk, Shabbosu Tishmor Migdoshi Tiro. Shabbos, the mitzvah Shmira Shabbos applies Bein Mizman Shabbos Migdosh Kayim, Bein Mizman Shein Beis Migdosh Kayim, and it's in the same pasuk with Migdoshi Tiro. So whenever you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's considered a hekesh. Like Ashiyakum Mishareh Utsocha Nevish Kena Adarbaza, that's a better hekesh. That says that A is like B. A is like B. Here is A is like B. It's just the two dinim written in the same pasuk. Then sometimes you have two psukim adjacent to each other. That's smuchim. So smuchim in the beginning of Yivam is there. That's a machlekes satanoim. Where the only darshan smuchim in Chumash Dvarim and Mishnah Torah, or you darshan smuchim in Kol HaTorah Kula. But here, this is mamish ahekesh. This is in the same pasuk as Shabsosu Tishmoru Migdoshi Tiro. It's just like Shmiras HaShabbos. Doesn't make a difference. Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim HaShalov, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim, so too, Migdoshi Tiro doesn't make a difference. So that's what it says in the Braisa. So some Mefarshim say, the Achrayim have a Machlek, and some Mefarshim on the Gemara say, what the Gemara means to say is, a Kitchel Asilava. And the Makar, the teacher, the Kitchel Asilava, is this Hekesh to Eshapsaisa Tishmar. And quite a few Achrayim say, no, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Even if you hold that loy kitchel asid lover, there's no kedusha, but there's still bechiras makam. you have psukim in different places in Tanakh. Hamokam shivcha Hashem mikol shivtechem lo'osem mishmoy sham. That's in Parshas Re'eh. It says it twice. Hamokam shivcha Hashem. So Rashi says in Parshas Re'eh, around 20 psukim apart from each other. So Rashi quotes from the Tanakh. The first time it's referring to Mishkan Shiloh, and second time it's referring to the Beis HaLomim, the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Mishkan Shiloh had a Bechiras Makan. Bechira usually means two elements. This to the exclusion of all others. Let's say, I marry Bechiras Libo. It says on the wedding invitation. When you get married, so it says, you marry Bechiras Libo, the girl of your choice. It means this girl to the exclusion of all the other girls. You're not going to marry another girl. By the Sephardim who don't follow the Chemder of the Negation, they can't say Bechiras Libo. There's no Bechira. This girl is not to the exclusion of all others. So Bechira means this place to the exclusion of all others, and then also has another, usually, full Bechira means Ve'erastech li le'olam. I'm going to be married to the girl for a long, long, long time, forever. Usually Bechira has the both elements. The Mishkan Shiloh only had one element of Bechira. There was an Issa Bamas. When the Mishkan was in Shiloh, when the Mishkan was in Nov Givon, there was a Bama Gedola Nov Givon. Then there was a Het Bamas. You can make Bamas all over in Eretz Yisrael. You can't make Bamas in Chutz Lawrence. But when they moved the Mishkan to Shiloh, so then there was a Mokam Shivcha Hashem. It was a partial Bechira. It was this location to the exclusion of all others. There was an Isser. Shchut echutz, that was an Issa Karis. If you makir karbanis at another location, there'll be an Issa Karis. But it wasn't Yerastech Leila Yadam, because after Shiloh was Chorev, so then it was again a Heta Bamas. But Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says, Ein Achre Heta, the Mishnah says in the end of Masech HaZvachim, Yerushalayim had the full Bechira. So that's why the second time it says in Parshas Re'eh, Hamakam Shivcha Hashem, so Rashi says, that goes on Beis HaElamim, that's why it's called Beis HaElamim. This is where the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Some teachers used to say that the Beis HaMidrashim or something, the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built somewhere else. That's not our tradition. Our tradition is the Mizbech is going to be the exact same location where the Mizbech was. The Rambam writes, Mokmam, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis HaMchira, Mokmam HaMizbech Mechuvan B'Yosa, the location of the Mizbech is very exact. That's where Adam Arishan brought Karbonis. That's where Noach brought Karbonis after the Mabul. And that's where Avraham Avinu had the Akedah. And that's where Shlomo HaMelech had the Mizbech and the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni. And that's where it's going to be in the Bais HaShlishi. It's not going to be a different location. It's going to be the exact same location. Makom HaMizbech Mechuvan B'Yoseh. So in addition to Kedushas HaMakom, there's Bechiras HaMakom. The expression appears in Parshas Re'eh, but it appears in Nevi'im Uksuvim also a few times, that there's Bechiras Makom. So even if one should assume that Loi Kitcha Lasi Lava, it could be that you still have the din of Umigdoshi Tiro Afilu after the Churban Abayis, because just like Shabbos and Shabbos Tishmaru, Bein Bizman Abayis, Bein Shelo Bizman Abayis, so too Migdoshi Tiro. You have the din of Moira HaMikdosh, even if there's no Kedushas Makom, but there's still, bottom line, there's still the Bechiras Makom. This is the Makom Mashivcha Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch is not going to allow, there won't be a Het HaBamas, after Yerushalayim is Chorev, there isn't a Het HaBamas, and there won't be a different location chosen to build the Beis HaMikdosh. How are we going to make a Beis HaMikdosh there? They have a mosque over there. So the mosque will somehow have to disappear. That's what the... The Rishonim couldn't visualize how it's going to disappear. So they said, it's going to happen in HaShemayim. They quoted Midrashim like that. It's going to happen in HaShemayim. The Maskan is going to fly away, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to fly down. So that could be over here. It's not so clear. It could be over here that the dinim of Moira HaMikdash apply, according to the accepted opinion, that it even applies Bisman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim. One Tana says, no. Bisman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, the dinim don't apply, because... There's no Kedushas Makom, so there's no Chiyuv to be Mechaber the Makom. And the other, the accepted opinion, is, Afilu Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, there's also a din of Moira HaMikdash, because the Makom HaMikdash is the Makom HaShayivcha Hashem. Even if you hold that like Kitcha Losi Lava, but it's still the Makom HaShayivcha Hashem. So what's Taka the different? The Rabbit holds that The Rabbit holds that loikich elos ilomim. So the Rabbit argues with the Rambam. The Rambam says a tomei who goes into the Azora is chayit kores. So the Rabbit writes it doesn't apply bisman hazeh, because since there's no kedushas mokaim, so there's no chiyuv kores. But from the Rabbit is mashma a little bit. It's not 100% conclusive. Is mashma. The Rabbit agrees that a tomei is not permitted to enter into the Azora. It just says the one who wants to insist that he's chayiv kares, the burden of proof is on him, because there shouldn't be kares because there's no kedusha. Sounds like the Rabbit agrees that there is an issa. So some say the issa is because of the bechiras makam, because it's a makam mashiach Hashem. So that's included in moira hamikdash. Moira hamikdash applies even bisman that there's no kedusha hamikdash, as long as the makam mashiach Hashem. And moira hamikdash includes that a tomei shouldn't go. Tommy is not allowed, in order for a Tommy to be chayv koris, we're going into Azora. Going in Harbais, there's no koris. Going on the Azora, this Tommy goes to this koris, so that the rabbi says only koris if it has kedushas mokam. But the Easter for a Tommy to go could be that that's an Easter deraisa to go bituma because of Moira HaMikdash. That's what quite a few achrayim on Yavamis, they all have it like that, and they make the diuk in the Loshan Arayvin. Because the Rabbi only says in Hilchus Beis Abchir in Perek Vav, when he argues with the Rambam, he holds that it's lo kitcha lo se lovai, he says, and therefore, the one who wants to insist that Yechayv Kor is the burden of all of Araya, the burden of proof is on him. Why do you only say the one who wants to say Chayv Kor is? Should have said the one who wants to prohibit going out to Harbai. Sounds like he's in agreement with that. A Tommy entering the Harbai is a violation of Moira HaMikdash. But in Moira HaMikdash there's no Kor is. In order to be chayv koris, you have to have kedushas on mikdash. So that's what the Rabbit argued. Anyway, that's part of the story over here. So part of Moira HaMikdash is that if the person doesn't have a toilet, ein shom koisel, you don't have a washroom that has walls, and he's out in the open. So some Tanaim are of the opinion, if you can see the makam HaMikdash from your location, the guy's going to have to undress in the front and in the back, in order to be oisot tzarachov. So that's a violation of kavod of kavod hamikdash, of moira hamikdash. Some tanaim are of the opinion only if he's so close that you can see the makam of the base hamikdash. Some are of the opinion even if he's so far away, he can't see at all. Some hold even a chutzlar that applies. All the different opinions in the Gemara, even min atzdadim. You know that you're far away, you can't see the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, not only are you far away, here, this is where the Beis HaMikdash used to be. I'm so far away, I can't see anything. I can't see any part of where the Beis HaMikdash used to be. But I'm not even mechuvin keneged the Beis HaMikdash. I'm over here, I'm in Atzdadim. So I'm going to be Yosef Tzarachov over here. I'm going to be undressed in the front, undressed behind. But I'm not going to be keneged Beis HaMikdash. That's a machlekes HaTanaim. Is that also, you shouldn't go Mizruch and Mayro, you shouldn't be facing that direction, even though he's not on the field over here, Oysa Tzarachov. He's Menatzad over here. So the different opinions in the Tanaim, how far do you go with this Inyan of Moira HaMikdash? Ikeb Menai Chutzlot, Ikeb Menai Menatzdadim, and is it only Menaroya? Okay, all the different opinions in Tanaim. The different opinions are just the details. The Gemara has in different mesichtas, they talk about medical recommendations. And the Rambam has also medical recommendations. The Rambam was a doctor, so he leaves out a lot of the medicine from the Gemara. He puts in a lot of medicine from his generation. The Rambam followed the Gemara, just like they followed the doctors of their generation, so the Rama follows the doctors of his generation. So this is part of halacha. A person has to preserve his good health in order to do avodas Hashem, in order to be able to do mitzvahs, in order to learn Torah, in order to daven, in order to do all the mitzvahs. You have to be healthy. So it's important to know what the doctors of your generation recommend, the health-wise. And the days of the Gemara, they were on mamish on the cutting edge of to the extent that they were able to. They didn't have Jewish doctors. They were listening to what the Goyish doctors had to say. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes in his tshuva. I think someone told me Rabbi Meizemirmai said it's apikursus to say like that. So that some sefer was an apikursus. Okay, he says that the rabbis were not doctors. They followed the doctors. They followed the medicine of their generation. Sometimes medicine was not correct. Okay, so we should do the same as the Tanaim. We should follow the up-to-date medicine, medical recommendations of our generation. There is a famous Agarata, very strange. Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. So he once went into the Beis Akisei. He wanted to learn everything from the Rebbe. So not only did he sit by the Rebbe to hear the way he says Kiddush, the way he says Abdullah, the way he benches, the way he davens, you had to go to see the way he acts in the Beis Akisei. They didn't have, today you have separate stalls, so you can't see what someone is doing. They didn't have separate. So one of the Ben Azai said, "Hat kan heyasto panecha birabecha." That's a chutzpah. He went in to watch the Rebbe when he goes into the Beis Akisei. So he says, yeah, Torah he will learn anitzach. That's part of the Masorah. He has to, you have to pick up what's the Masorah, how do you go in Beis Akisei. So part of the story was, Lamadim Menesh Losha Dvar, he says on the third line from the top. He learned three things. One is about Kovet Beis Amigdosh, Moira Hamigdosh, that you shouldn't be Nifna Mizruch HaMayrav, even though he lived after the destruction of the second Beis Amigdosh, the dinim still apply. And then the other two things are about good health. Oh, another one is, En Kanchem Bimin El Bismol. If a person is right-handed, so he wipes himself, he shouldn't wipe with the right hand. Why? So the Gemara gives different explanations. So one explanation is because it's a medical explanation. He's a righty, so he's going to eat the food with his right hand. So it's going to be unhealthy. It's the hand that was touching all the tzoya, so it's going to wipe off the tzoya. But the hand, it's going to be germs on that hand. And then that's going to be the hand that is going to put the food into his mouth. So that's not medically recommended.
So they knew about germs?
They knew something, yeah. They knew something. So they knew that if that's the hand that's going to be touching the tzoya, so it's not a smart idea that that should be close to his mouth. And then the other suggestions are, no, it's for a different reason. Why shouldn't he do bimin? Because the imin is the hand that you tighten it filling with, so that should be the clean hand. Or the imin is the hand that you write the Torah with. Or the imin is the hand that when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, Rashi says in Europe they never did it. Rashi writes, "Reisa bikarm haboy me'eretz Yisrael." That by the Sfardim in Europe, they still do like that. That they have somebody waving to the Balkari when it's a Munach, when it's a Zarka, when it's a Darga Tvir, when it's a Merchatipcha, and so on. So that's like part of the Kriyas HaTorah. So since that's the hand that you're going to show, by us we would say, when you say Asvara, you say like this. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi, the Gemara says, because Marim Baitami Torah, the trup of the Kriyas HaTorah. Rashi says, he saw those who came, the Sfardim who came from Eretz Yisrael. There was such a thing in the days of Rashi, that Sfardim came from Eretz Yisrael and they used to wave their hands with the motions in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So Rashi interprets that that's perhaps what it means in the Gemara. So three of the explanations, because he tied the tefillin, because he write the Rei Torah, because Marim Bei Tami Torah, are religious explanation. The other one is a medical explanation. And it's Korav LaPeh, so it's not healthy. And the third, so there were three things that he learned from the Rebbe. One was about Moira HaMikdosh, and one was about not to be Mekanech B'Yimin. So three out of the four explanations are based on a religious explanation for that. And then the third thing that he learned was about Einifroi Mehumad Ela Miyushot. That probably has to do with a medical recommendation. The Gemara has such a story with another Tana. Where is it again? Benazayam Pamach Nachnaste Acha Rabbi Akiva LeBeis Akisei. And he also learned Shloshet Dvorim. So Rabbi Yudah the Tana says to Hakan, he asked the Panacha Berabecha, and the first white line says, "Amen." So Torah he will not itzorch. Okay. Then the next Gemara is a very strange Gemara. Rav Kana once snuck into the bedroom of Rav. He was a student of Rav, and he hid under his bed. And Rav was together with his wife in bed, and the student was on the bottom listening to the whole conversation that the husband had with his wife. And then he screams out in the middle, he screams out, he makes a comment to his Rebbe about what a good time the Rebbe's having when he's with his wife. So the Rebbe says to the Talmud, Kahana, hachat, you're over here, puk. It's not the Cheres, you don't belong here. So he says, Torah hivalum la'anitzarach. This is very, very strange Gemara. I don't know. Very strange Gemara. Famous, famous, difficult, strange Gemara. What did his wife say about this? I don't know. Then the Gemara talks about Derech Eretz and Beis HaKisei. If you have a Beis HaKisei, if you have a washroom with walls, shine. So all your problems are solved. That's what we have today. But in the days of the Gemara, very often they didn't have that. So they had, how far away should a person go when he has to be Oseh Tzarachov? So the Gemara says other people shouldn't hear him making noises when he's being Oseh Tzarachov. He shouldn't just go on the other side of the fence. People are going to hear him making noises there. I think Gemara asked the Kasha Meisve, they quote a Mishnah from Taurus, Yotzim in Pesach Beis Abad, Menifnim Lachuri HaGeder. They go to Beis HaKisei, right outside of it, there's a factory, and there's no Beis HaShimush there. So they're going to be Nifne right on the other side of the building. So the Gemara says, Betaris Hikilu. They don't want him to go too far. Really, if it wouldn't be a factory where they're careful about Tumah V'Tara, we would recommend that you go further away to be Oseh Tzarachov, that people shouldn't hear him making noises. But we want that he should watch the Taras, that an Amharit shouldn't come and touch the Taras. So we have to, something has to give. You have a dilemma over here. If he's going to go too far away, then there's going to be a weaker Shmira on the Taras. Maybe an Amharit will come and touch the Taras. So we have to violate a little bit the Derech Eretz of Hilchas Beis HaKisei in order to be more careful about the Tahara. So that's when Marsha B'Taris Hikilu, Rashi says, they were makel on the Inyani Beis HaKisei because they wanted to have the Shmiras HaTahara. So it'll only be away for a shorter period of time. And whenever the Chover, there's a Chover in Amoritz, the Chover is the one who's careful about Tumah V'Tahara, Amoritz is the one who's not so careful. So whenever the Chover is going to come back soon, he didn't go away for an hour, going to come back within 3 or 4 minutes, then the Amoritz is not going to, and he knows the Amoritz was nowhere near the Taras, and then he comes back right away. So he said, that's for the Shmiras HaTaras, that's good enough. Talking about Chumris min the Rabbanan, Amoritz's tummy is only min the Rabbanan. It's not really tummy min HaTaras. Then the Gemara tells a story, someone delivered a hesped, and he was saying about this person who passed away, he was quite a tzonua. So Rav Nachman was upset. Amalei Rav Nachman, did you ever go with him in the Beis HaKisei that you know he's such a tzonua? The Gemara said, what did he get so touchy about? So I said a little guzman a hesped, what's so bad? I said, a guy dies and I say, he's such a big Talmid Chacham and such a bal tzedakah. He never learned and he never gave tzedakah. What's the big aver if you tell a lie? The Gemara says, no, there's a brisa, the Tanya, Kishem Shenifraim and Amesim, just like in heaven, the Bezon Shomad, they're going to punish the Mesim if they did any Averis. Kach Nifraim and Hasabdanim. So too, they're going to punish the one who delivers the Hesped. I remember, Rav Soloveitchik used to be a knockout Bal Hesped. When someone died in the yeshiva, he would give a Hesped out of this world. Rabbi Lifshitz, the Chan Lebrach, would also give Hesped, a different style. Rabbi Lifshitz would take the Parsha Sashavua. And he would start reading, and he would cry, and he would say how the first Pasuk applies, and the 10th Pasuk applies, and the 20th Pasuk applies. He would go through the Parsha and cry about what a Rebbe passed away, or something like that. Now, Soloveitchik wouldn't cry. He would pick one midah that the person was known for, and he would give a whole lecture on that midah, why we should all emulate that midah, and the sources in the Gemara, what the midah means. He says, Pedim are unusual. When Rab Soloveitchik passed away, so Dr. Lamb said a hesped, and he died on Chalamayt Pesach. So the only one who said hesped by the funeral was his brother, Rab Baron Soloveitchik. But in the yeshiva, after Pesach, they had a hesped. So Dr. Lamb said, and the people didn't know what he meant, he said, the only one who can really say hesped, Rab Soloveitchik, is Rab Soloveitchik himself. He was a knockout Bala Maspid. He published quite a few. He published a Hesped for Rav Zeid Gold. It was a big Mizrahi leader. He's a prominent Rav Soloveitchik. Picked up a lot from Zev Gold on how to deliver a drasha. He was a very dramatic speaker. And then he delivered a hesped for Shmuel Leib Zohar, Dean Zohar. He used to be a dean here in the yeshiva. And then he, famous hesped, Chaim Heller. He has a lot of famous hespedim that he delivered. Each hesped was really something special. So I remember one of the hespedim, he quoted a Medrash Rabbah, I forgot already where it is, that the Bezen Shel Maila, when they judge the Nifter, and they decide to reward him or to punish him in the Olam HaEmes, so they have to have Edim to testify, so that people who deliver the hespedim, they're considered the Edim, and they have to tell the truth. And if you tell an exaggeration, so it says in the Gemara, it's self-understood there's going to be a little exaggeration. Everybody understands that. Like the Mishnah has in Ksubis, that there used to be a practice when a kohen would get married, so it would write double the amount in the Ksubah, but in case they would get divorced, it was all self-understood that you divide it in half. You don't pay the full amount. In case the husband dies, or the case the husband divorces the wife, you'd pay less. So so to over here, it says in the Gemara that a little bit of an exaggeration is understood, that you're not going to say exactly. It's not derech eretz to say exactly. But if you have an extreme exaggeration, then kishem shenifrayim and amesim kach nifrayim and asabdonim, because the violation of edus sheker, you're not allowed to testify falsely, because the one that delivers a hesped is considered giving hagadus edus for the bezel shel maila. And not only the one kach nifrayim and asabdonim, or min ha'inim achreim, those are bump kanach afterwards. The one who delivers the hesped said what a tzaddik he was and what a talmid chacham he was, and he wasn't. Then someone goes and they print it in the newspaper. They know it's not true. They know it's an exaggeration. So we're going to punish the one who said it and the hesped. We're going to punish the one, oinim achreim amen, those who say amen, those who are masking with it, because it's all not true. So that's where Rav Nachman got all touchy about. What do you say the guy who's a tzanua? The term tzanua is unique. It has a connotation of being tzanua in the Beis HaKisei. So what does it mean? So the Gemara has Ezu tzanua da'anifna balayl mokash anifna bayom. You have to do the same at night as you do in the daytime. Where it says, not true. If you do it nighttime, everybody's sleeping, so you don't have to do the same as in the daytime. So the Gemara says, you don't have to go to the same location, but kederach shedifna bayom. In the daytime, he's going to cover himself up to the extent that is possible, because there are other people walking around. At nighttime, let's say the guy's going to go in the bushes. At nighttime, there's nobody there. So he can be completely uncovered. So the Gemara says, no, that's not derech eretz. Kederach shedifna bayom, the same way he covers his body bayom to the maximum that is possible, so to balayla, but it's not going to be in the same location. The location is going to be different. Then the Gemara has recommendations, medical recommendations, to take care of your health. Different medical recommendations that you should take care of your health. Here the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Tamid. Mishnah is Tamid, about 15 lines from the top. It says on the side, on the left-hand margin, Sham Dav Chavav Amar Aleph, and Masech is Tamid. Madura Haisa Sham, the Kohanim had a dormitory in the basement of the Beis HaMikdosh. So they would sleep there, and then they had a mikveh there, in case someone would be Tamid, they'd go to mikveh, then you have to have Hirat Shemesh, you have to wait till Tzeis HaKachavim. Following when you go to mikveh, the tunnels below Neskachim, Mechilas below Neskachim. So whoever is Tamei goes to the underground dormitory in the Beis HaMikdash. And they had a Medura HaYisusham. They had a fire in the winter time, so they won't catch a cold. Beis HaKisu Shal Kavod Haya. What's the Beis HaKisu Shal Kavod? What's so unique about it? They had a system. Mitzov na'ul, if the door is closed, b'yadua shiesh amod. You know that there's someone there, and you don't go in. Mitzov pasuch, if the door is open, is b'yadua shiesh amod, and you can go in. So the Gemara says, so you see, Why don't you just knock on the door and say, is there anybody there? So you see, it's not Darach Eretz to talk when you're in the Beis HaKisei. The Gemara says, but there was once a case, the Gemara has before that, Safa, all the Beis HaKisei. One of the Chacham was in the Beis HaKisei, and Rabbah became after him. He knocks on the door, and he says, you can come in. He knows that it's his Rebbe, and he says, Leil Mar, you can come in. So afterwards he says, why don't you know that it's not Darach Eretz to talk when you're in the Beis HaKisei? Don't you see from the Mishnah in Talmud that they had a system, when the door is closed, you know there's someone there. When the door is open, you know there's no one there. What do you need the system for? Because it's not Darach Eretz to talk. Mara says he thought that the guy, maybe it's unhealthy, if one has to go to the bathroom, it's unhealthy to hold it in. So he thought the guy was Mesukan, so he said, please come. You can come in, there's room for you too. The Gemara talks about maintaining your health. Okay. Maybe tomorrow we'll continue with the rest of the Gemara. Okay. Tomorrow, what time are we going to learn? After we finish this perek, then we have to go back to the eighth perek. That perek, you got to learn slowly. Every few lines is another din. Okay, so tomorrow is normal time. I think a 12:45. Okay, everyone is invited to the Siyum across the street. Quite a celebration.
Was this special ever printed?